Dear friends, what a privilege to come again into the house of prayer. May the Lord be pleased to speak to us. Then we shall count the season dear. Our first hymn is number 1135. In thy name, O Lord, assembling, we thy people now draw near. Teach us to rejoice with trembling. Speak, and let thy servants hear. Hear with meekness. Hear thy word with godly fear. May we each be found among that number termed in our hymn, Thy People. Hymn 1135.
Help us this morning as we read from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And aside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is fast spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Friends, I hope we can say an amen to that reading. May we see his hands, and may by faith we see his feet this day. May the Lord help us in prayer. Most holy Lord God of Israel, we do plead that as we come before thee at the time of morning prayer, that thou would help us. And Lord, we want to sound that note of thanksgiving. We want to praise God from all whom all blessings flow. And Lord, they flow today, we believe, in the sense that the doors of the chapels, of the places of worship in this land, are open again. And Lord, we are so thankful to thee that this is the case. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. We pray that it may truly have been the song in our heart. How pleased and blessed was I to hear the people cry, Come, let us seek our Lord today. Yes, come with a cheerful voice, and to sing those praises in Zion. Lord, we're thankful then that we can meet together again around thy word. We are truly grateful to thee that thou hast made a way. And Lord, though we have the restrictions, and though we feel for the dear friends in the pew with the masks and how difficult that is, but Lord, we can meet around thy word, and that's a wonderful favour, and we do bless thee for it. Lord, we need thee to come though. And even Lord, as it was with us, as we read that word and we felt slowed down by it in reading. Oh, how wonderful it is we're now to slow our wandering hearts down, to ponder a little. Yes, he showed them his hands and his feet. And Lord, if thou dost show one poor sinner thy hands and thy feet, that they see it by faith today, it will be a wonderful time of gathering. It will be a time of praise. It will be a time when thou wilt get honour and favour. Because, Lord, that's what it's all about, really. That, the wounds he received in the house of his friends. Have we wounded him? Does it come close to us that we feel that we've wounded him because of our sins, of our transgressions? And, oh, what transgressions, what sins have we committed since we last sat in Swavesey Chapel? What a thought for us. We were there, perhaps that first Lord's Day in November, but then four Lord's Days when we've not been able to meet. The many, many sins, the many wrong thoughts, the many wrong deeds, the lack of faith, the lack of belief, all these things, Lord, we would confess them this morning. We would confess before thee our weakness and our poverty and our lack of belief and our unbelief and our, Lord, our complete and utter blackness of heart and soul. That's where we are, Lord. And yet the mercy is that the doors are open again. And oh, do come in this morning. Oh, open the windows of heaven, dear Jesus, and pour out a blessing such as there may not be room enough to receive. Oh, and as it says in thy word, a portion for seven and also for eight. And Lord, we're thankful we're more than seven and eight this morning. Oh, that every soul might receive something. Oh, that there might be a crumb of mercy, just a crumb, Lord. But that mercy that will carry us, that will take us on through life and help us to continue. Lord, we pray, then a prayer of gratitude and thanks for what thou hast done in opening the doors. Lord, we cannot get away from this theme this morning, but we also thank thee that thou hast made a way and a rich provision of the internet way of worship. Lord, it has been a great help to us in the time that we have not been able to meet together. Yet, Lord, oh, it is in thy courts. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper. Yes, that humble position, Lord, of a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And, oh, Lord, we would confess. I don't know about the friends here, Lord, but we've been opening the flaps of those tents of wickedness many times. Oh, and we would creep into the tents of wickedness as we open the flaps to enter in. Yes, we would, Lord, but the restraining grace, restraining power of God. We do pray that more of it may be seen, because we need it, Lord, to be restrained from wandering, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Oh, Lord, may there be some sealing today. Oh, in thy great name, may it be so. Thou knowest our desires. Oh, Lord, but those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. And may the poor souls that are here this morning prove that in their own weakness of faith. That he will come, despite the feeble desires, if those desires are right. Lord, we do pray for the dear friends here. We pray for the deacons, Lord. We plead that thou wilt be with them. Help them, Lord, in the choice of the hymns. Help them, Lord, in the management of the affairs of this chapel. And Lord, give wisdom, as they no doubt feel to lack wisdom. But if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, that is, holdeth not back. Lord, we pray for them, that thou wilt graciously help them and help the dear church and people to pray for them too. And Lord, we plead for thy favour to be with them. Do pray for the church here, Lord. We pray that, Lord, God willing, if we can gather around thy table, what a wonderful favour it will be, Lord, if thou wouldest draw near. Oh, we plead for it, that time of favour around thy table. And we pray for one of the friends and his family unable to, as he cannot come to the table. And Lord, also they cannot come to chapel or into sickness. Well, we do pray for the little one in the sickness, and we also pray that thou wilt be with them, Lord, as they are at home. And Lord, others that may not be with us here today, we do pray for them in their homes, and we do pray for them that thou wilt bless them abundantly there. And Lord, that as we hope and pray that they would listen to the word, that it may have benefit upon them, Lord, we do plead. And we do indeed pray that thou would remember the church here and yet add unto them such as shall be saved. Lord, do work in sinners' hearts, we do pray. But do bless them, grant them that prayer, that exercise, that walking together, that desire in love before the Lord to pray, Lord, that thou would ever be with them and not leave them. And Lord, we do plead for them each. Lord, each and every one of the church members. And Lord, we do pray thou would remember the congregation and Lord, bless them indeed. And grant, Lord, those two exercised souls will be continually in prayer regarding the coming in and going out of thy servants. And, Lord, that the gospel will get success in this place. And that, Lord, there will be the signs and wonders done following the ministry, following the prayer meetings, following the use of the hymns. And, Lord, thy work will be seen in the midst of the years. Thy work. Yes, Lord, that's it. However thou would use feeble man. And Lord, that's it. We are feeble in the sight of a holy God. But oh, Lord, do remember then the congregation here and the different generational needs. We do pray for the babes, and we pray for the young children, Lord, those that are at school, and we pray for them in their school life, and perhaps those taught at home. We pray for them also, and we pray, Lord, that as they grow up, thou would help them and be with them each. And we do pray, Lord, that from an early age they will be taught and shown, Lord, not just to say their evening prayers as it is, but to actually come and pray before God themselves, and to see those answers from time to time, and to encourage them to keep steady in the faith. Lord, so important are those incipient years, Lord, in these things. And we do pray, we feel we carry, Lord, such a burden for the children and the young people. And we do pray, Lord, from a burdened heart, that thou will truly hear our cries for them, and thou would help them then in their school life and in their studies and in their learning, and as also as if it be at home. But Lord, do be with them in all these things. And we pray for those in the early part of their working life, and that they will prove that thou dost go before them in their steps, and that they will perhaps not be able to speak to another of it, but that there will be that underlying faith in the Lord, that he will help them and enable them to go through day by day, and to be the burden bearer for them, for the concerns and burdens in their working life. And Lord, indeed, in due course, that they may pray over their never dying souls. But Lord, we do plead then, thou wilt keep them fast by thy maidens in the house of God, and not to wander away in that sense to those tents of wickedness that we referred to earlier. Lord, we do pray thou wilt keep the young friends. And oh, we plead for those in the middle part of life, and we pray for the parents, and we pray for those that are looking after over their families, and we pray for those that are burdened and concerned for parents too. And Lord, thou knowest the heat and burden of the day. Oh, there is that heat, and there are those burdens. But thou, Lord, show them and enable them to cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Those that are retired, we pray for them. And oh, may they use their time much in prayer. Oh, Lord, and we do pray for those that are grandparents, and those that have family responsibilities at that age, and those that are even older than that too, that they feel the mud-walled cottage shake and they long to see it fall. They would be with Jesus, but Lord, it's not always like that, even with the old friends, because we have this flesh about us that wants to live forever, Lord, and we know it cannot. But Lord, we pray for the dear friends in old age, even down to old age. All my people shall prove my sovereign eternal unchangeable love. Lord, may it be so. We do pray for thy mercy to be upon each and every one, then, in all the ages and generations. And Lord, the particular needs, and thou knowest if one or another have come up with a particular need to the house of God today, Lord, supply that need. Oh Lord, give them a word to take away. Oh, give them a token, Lord, give them a touch, give them a blessing. Give them a favour from above. Oh, Lord, we pray that none may empty go away. Compassion have on us, we pray, says a hymn writer, and empty send us not away. Lord, we plead and pray that thou would remember us in the churches. We do pray, Lord, for thy servants this day, do help them. Pray for our own dear pastor at Staplehurst, and that thou wilt be with him and bless the friends as they get back there. Be with those chapels that cannot open, Lord, for whatever reason, but mainly due to the effects of the virus. Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon them. Do bless the online word, Lord, according to thy will. Well, we do feel, Lord, thou hast here and there, and we're thankful for it, as we have already given thanks, Lord, in our poor way. But help us to pray for the Church of God at large, and for thy servants across the globe, those that have been sent that fully preach and totally preach the doctrines of sovereign grace, those that, Lord, are enabled to stand in thy name in much weakness, but, Lord, do help them, we do pray. And oh, we do seek that thou wilt then be with thy servants today. And now, Lord, we pray for our land and nation. What a wicked land and nation we are. And Lord, we pray that instead of putting our trust in a vaccine, we might put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful, Lord, that scientists have been given, it would appear thus far, that ability to develop these vaccines. And we thank thee, Lord, and pray that there may be the efficacy and usefulness in them. But Lord, that the eyes may not be dependent on a jab, but that the eyes might be looking to thee. And Lord, we're so sad that our nation has come so far away from thee. And at the same time as we're trying to fight, shall we say, use that word, Lord, in prayer, but that fight the infection, at the same time those things are going are being talked about with in some ways the persecution of those in the Christian church. And Lord, the two things don't weigh together, and it's such a burden to us, Lord, that thou would yet turn this nation, turn it back to the ways of thy word, turn the things, many things that are upon the statute book that have wronged thee there, that Lord, we shall be turned. Oh, do come, dear Jesus, we pray. Remember our leaders that rule over us. We pray for them. These are difficult days for them, and we would pray for them much. But Lord, oh, that there might be a turning to thee and a looking unto thee, even if there's one in Parliament that would be praying that the Lord would help us to find a way that we might get back to some semblance of normal life. Lord, we pray that thou wilt truly come. and enable us to pray much for the nation. Now, Lord, oh, thy word is before us. Lord, we see the friends. We anticipate thee, that they have that expectancy of heart. And Lord, we feel we're an empty vessel. How can we speak? Oh, one says, I am but a child. And that's how we feel to be in the things of God. And if we're a child in the things of God, how can we speak before the people? But Lord, do come in, touch our lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar, so that we speak well of yon lovely man, so that we speak well of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may it be so this day. Do hear and answer the prayers in the pew, Lord. And oh, we do pray that thou wilt come. Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, God with us. We seek these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 143. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Hymn 143.
pleading so much the help of the dear Lord, I would direct your very prayerful attention to the chapter that we read, Luke chapter 24, and the last clause in verse 15. Verse 15, the last clause, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The first reads, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Friends, it's been my great desire and prayer before the Lord that as we were enabled once again to enter into his courts today, that Jesus himself might draw near. And it will make all the difference, friends. And you know, it will be the difference between coming in and going out. There will be a warmth as these felt in their hearts. That warmth. I wonder when you last felt a warmth in your soul. Friends, it doesn't have to be in the house of God, of course. But when did you last feel that warmth? Have you ever felt that warmth? When Jesus himself draws near. What a question it is for us this morning. But friends, what a Lord's Day it would be to remember if Jesus himself drew near. And you know, you'll know, friends, that I struggled a little in part of the reading when I felt that's Jesus drawing near, when we can see his wounded hands and his wounded feet and his wounded side. We see it by faith. Friends, and that's when he draws near, and that's what we desire if we get just a glimpse, friends, just a glimpse. He will have drawn near. He will have drawn near. So, it is our desire. But I want to notice this, friends. They communed together, and they were reasoning. And that's when Jesus drew near. Do you commune together? I know it's difficult at the moment with the COVID-19 situation, but do we commune together? Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, says Malachi. Are we speaking often one to another? And a book of remembrance was written, and those that thought upon his name. Friends, it's something for you and I to consider this morning. Are we communing together? You know, true Christian followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, these were disciples. They're not the 11, but they were disciples. They were followers of the Lord and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, friends. They will commune together. I know we cannot give ourselves, as it were. What does the hymn writer say? No big words of ready talkers, no dry doctrine will suffice. Humble hearts, yes. And steady walkers, these are dear in Jesus' eyes. That is so. It is so. We cannot just find the words to speak. But are we encouraging one another in the faith? Are we communing together? What communication has gone on in the last 4 weeks, friends? We need to come close to the word of God. It was then that Jesus himself drew near. Ask ourselves, are we... Friends, I hadn't thought of this at all. You know, we have a few thoughts sometimes before we come into the pulpit, but friends, not this. Are we communing one with another as we ought to be? You know, it's something for us to take home and ponder. But as they commune together, I tell you something we do, and we may do it individually, we may do it as we talk to others, we reason things out, friends. They talk together and they reasoned. And that is definitely what we do as we just touch the background to our text. We reason things. It comes straight into my mind that the first time this poor sinner tried to preach in this pulpit, we preached on that one word, if. And some of you may remember it, you may not remember it as we... But friends, it's an occasion I do not forget. If, the ifs and the buts, that's the reasoning, friends. But that the Lord would take us beyond that and to think of these things, and to be able to reason in our mind before the Lord in prayer, you see, reason in a positive light rather than trying to work them out in a negative way for ourselves. But then it comes to the word, Jesus himself drew near. None other but Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus. And friends, you know, I found such a comfort when I pondered this word. Jesus was with them as they went on this journey, but they did not know it. Are you in a journey of darkness? A journey of trouble? A journey of trial? You come up to the house of God this morning. Lord, I'm in this way. I don't know how to cope with it. I don't know how to continue with it. They didn't know that the Lord was with them. And maybe you feel you do not feel the Lord's presence. You feel darkness and coldness. You feel like that clingy mist that you've got in these fen parts this morning. That's how you feel. Friends, it's so wonderful, isn't it, that Jesus himself, he drew near and they did not, they were not cognizant, they did not know it, friends. And that, for the dear Lord's people, when they walk in these dark and difficult pathways, they do not know that the Lord is nigh. But I'll tell you this, that he, if they're amongst his, he's loved them from all eternity, and he loves them in the deepest, darkest trial and the deepest pit. He loves them still. He loves them notwithstanding all. Friends, you feel your Lord has forsaken you. You feel like the Lord Jesus, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the psalmist says it in Psalm 22, does he not? And that's what you feel. Or if you don't feel it this morning, you have felt that pathway. You have known something of it, friends. Why hast thou forsaken me? But he's not forsaken me. These two disciples, one we know was called Cleopas, the other one we don't know anything about. There's all sorts of theories that it was Cleopas's wife and other things. Friends, we're not interested in that, are we? What we're interested in is that they were followers of the Lord and they were speaking about him and they were talking about those things that had gone on and they were sad. And friends, it also struck me in reading the word, the Lord Jesus came and walked with them and their eyes were holed and they could not know him, we read. But he said, what manner of communications that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? But he'd only just drawn near to them. How could he have possibly known they were sad? He knows what each tempted soul feels. He knows what you're going through. He knows the feelings of your heart, friends. It's shown here. He couldn't possibly know they were sad. Well, maybe their countenance was sad, but he spoke, you see, immediately. They didn't know who he was, but what manner of communication? He speaks to them straight away. One of the translations from the Hebrew, the Persic translation, suggests that suddenly, he came suddenly near. Now, friends, he drew near suddenly to these on this road. This road, this journey to Emmaus, the village which we read is about 60 furlongs, I believe, 7 or 8 miles. So they had a reasonably long walk, and he drew near. He drew near to them. They perceived that he was a stranger. A stranger that had gone up to Jerusalem, no doubt, for the time of Passover, which it was, and had taken that journey himself. Oh, a stranger in Jerusalem has not known the things. To the very one that had suffered those things has not known the things. Oh, it's a wonderful word, friends. Jesus himself drew near. He drew near to these two sorrowing disciples. And he does draw near to his sorrowful, sad followers. And he does draw near as those that consider the way and are troubled by the way. And maybe there's one that's coming this morning and you said, show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way, the way in which thou would have me to walk. And maybe there's another, you just don't know what lies ahead and you're troubled about it. And you want the Lord to show you that he will be with you in the pathway as it lies ahead. What a prayer it is that Jesus might indeed come in and go with you. Jesus himself. None other, friends. None other could have done these two any good. Because if there'd have been another person that wasn't Jesus, they'd have done more reasoning. And more reasoning. Yes, they'd have talked about these things, which is good, as we've already said. But they'd have done more reasoning, friends. No, they needed Jesus himself. Oh, do you need a himself blessing this morning? Friends, I do believe a lively soul will say in their hearts, yes, I've been pleading for a himself to draw near. One of none other but the Lord Jesus. You know, the name Cleopas, it means glory in the Father. It means glory in a natural Father. But you see, friends, I saw in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory in the Father. The Heavenly Father, is that something of the glory of the Father that you desire to see today, friends? Oh, may he come in and bless your soul. May he bless my soul. Just one touch, Lord, that will be sufficient to take me home, praising and blessing thy name and honouring thee. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. These two, as they walked on in this 7 or 8 mile journey, he walked with them. There would have been much time to talk, wouldn't there? And, well, the chapter goes on how he preached to them, really. From that, in a way, they started, you're a stranger, and it started in that. And he said, what things? And they spoke to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth. But what did they know? When he started to speak to them, and as we read here, it's wonderful. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then they drew nigh to the village. Oh, it must have been a quick journey for them, you know, friends. They must have felt, as their hearts were warmed within them, it must have felt a short time. You know what it is in chapel sometimes? There's a question for you and I, young people. You know, you watch that clock going round, don't you? I have. I've sat there in chapel, can't wait for the 12 o'clock. Can't wait for the end of the service. Oh, solemn thought, isn't it? And then the time comes. Wonderful when the time comes and we're changed. And we can't wait, friends. We can't wait for the time when we're back in the Lord's courts again. And I tell you, I don't know how you felt this morning, but I felt that my feet were running. And friends, don't get me wrong. I don't run into the pulpit. I would rather be sitting in the pew if I speak from my true heart, honestly. But to be in his courts, oh, I felt my feet were running this morning. Yes. Oh, I'm sure you can come in with the psalmist, but when he talks of the house of the Lord, yes, how amiable thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Did you feel like this morning, friends? And my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. The sparrow have found a house. The swallow have found a nest. You know, they're the places where we desire Jesus to walk with us when we're in the house of God, friends. As I said earlier, yes, he does speak to his people in many different ways, as I know you know. But in the house of God, where his honour dwelleth. And we felt that this morning, indeed, and I hope you did, friends, that desire to be there, that love in your hearts to the Lord Jesus to be there with his people, and not just to be there, though, friends, that he would come in and that he would bless you. Oh, give me a blessing. Show me some token, Lord, for good this morning, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. If your treasure's above, your desire that the Lord will walk with you, your desire that Jesus himself would draw near, your desire that he will be ever near. Oh, friends, yes, you will. And again, the psalmist says, I think, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Oh, yes, friends, it's a wonderful mercy that the doors are open again. It's a wonderful favour. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Why? Because Jesus himself draws near to those very souls that desire to love Jerusalem, to love the place of where the Lord is. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. And this, the final verse in that lovely psalm, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Well, friends, here we are, and it's been such a desire in my heart that Jesus himself would draw near. Those touches from him. Now, the young friends might say, what does it mean for Jesus to draw near in a believer's heart? What does it actually mean? What is that meaning to me? Friends, these are not easy questions to answer for us, are they? We know in our own experience, those of us that have been led perhaps to put the Lord on in an open profession, that there have been those times when the Lord, we feel, has spoken to us. We feel a word has come into our heart, into our pathway. We've been softened, we've been broken down, we've been convicted of sin, and the Lord has broken our heart, and then the Lord has shown us some hope in his salvation. And it's different for every individual case, the way that the Lord works. But we do feel the Lord has drawn near at times, whether that be in a word of cutting down, a word of stripping, a word of bringing us to his feet to confess our sins, or whether it be that we feel the Lord has heard and answered prayer, maybe in the providential pathway, and the Lord has gone before us. But there are those beginnings, you see, and there are those ways in which we feel the Lord's presence in that way, because he's come in, he's given us a little word here and there. We're not necessarily basking in the fullness of his love, but we know his presence. We know Jesus has drawn near in that way. That's one way, of course. And then there are those times, few and far between. I remember our pastor at Matfield, Mr. Bradford, the first pastor I sat under, who used to say, if you've got as many true blessings as you've got fingers on one hand, friends, he said, if you've got that, he said, you've had some wonderful favours. Truly, and that is so. And he said, you won't expect any more, friends. Don't expect any more true blessings. The time when the Lord really draws near, and when you feel in your soul and in your heart that you're numbered amongst his, and you feel blessed. I'm blessed, forever blessed, says the hymn writer. And that's how you feel. You can see no sin. You can see no iniquity. You can see none of these things that speak against you. Oh, friends, yes, those times. And sometimes those times we can be feeling the Lord is with us, as it were, and close to us over a period of time. And we read of those that when they're brought out and blessed, they felt the blessing for 2 or 3 months sometimes. And friends, it's so individual, but Jesus has drawn near. But I tell you something, friends, when the Lord shows us, sometimes he shows us that he's been near, he's drawn near, but we didn't know it at the time. in the deep trial that we've had to walk through. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the Lord Jesus said. And when we go through those deep waters, you know, it's often when we look back at the time of deliverance and we see that the Lord was with us in the depths. We see that as out of the depths I've cried unto thee, and it's there that he has been with us. And friends, it is so, and there's that looking back and realisation, almost in a past tense, that Jesus had been with us. And I would say for those of you that feel that the Lord hasn't spoken to you and you desire another word for some time and you desire another word from the Lord, pray on and plead on. But you know, the Lord, if he's once said, my presence shall go with thee, which is exactly what our word is here. If once he said that, then, friends, his presence will always be with you, even though you cannot feel it. You see, I feel there's a thing in this word, there's a tangibility in it. In other words, something you can feel. And there are those times as a Christian believer, there's lack of tangibility. We can't feel it. And yet the presence is still there. Whom once, friends, whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. Friends, to the end. And you know, in that final day, we're going to need this word. We're going to need Jesus to walk with us as we cross the Jordan. I've been reminded of this of late, friends. An old aunt of mine has just died. She was 96, attended East Peckham Chapel, was a member there for many years. And 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I went to see her for the last time, and she went downhill very much from the day afterwards, but you know, it was such a wonderful visit. As you know, with these COVID times, it's very difficult. She was in a home in Tunbridge Wells, but we spent half an hour or so with her. And you know, she was such a humorous person. But there was really, once she'd had a quick word of interest, she said, I want to talk to you. I want you to pray, and I want us to have conversation, she said, about the things of Jesus. She said, my soul's near to eternity. How is it with me? Oh, friends, I saw one that was so tempted by the devil. She said, I've lived a bad life. I've lived a bad life. A long life, but a bad life. Full of sin. Oh, friends, but you know, and I'll say this, friends, she said to me when I left, she said, I know you're not allowed to, please shake my hand, hold my hand. I had to do it, friends. And as I held her hand, you know, the Lord spoke this word to me, with thee it shall go well. And you know that dear lady, she's in glory now. I'm sure of it, because you see, it so touched my heart. And I said to her, you know, the Lord mentioned that word to me. And she said, his blood can cleanse the blackest soul. Friends, spoken from the heart. You see, I believe Jesus himself drew near and went with her in those final days. May it be so for each of us. We have to stand before him, friends. We cannot come away from it. We, in that dread moment, to hide beneath his sheltering blood. That will be this text being in its being fulfilled. Jesus himself drew near to draw near. Oh, we think our God's at a distance, don't we? We think the Lord has forsaken us, and we do think he's, well, I was going to say he's miles away. He drew near, right near, so he could walk with them. Yes, friends. You know, there is a hymn, and it comes to mind, and you know, it's not in our book, and it's a fairly modern hymn, and I hope you'll forgive me for quoting it, but I do feel that it is doctrinally acceptable. It says, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. It's how the refrain goes. Friends, what a beautiful hymn. And I believe it is so.
burdens are lifted when we see, and oh, as we felt it in the reading, a little his hands and his feet, when we see those, pierce it for us. Friends, that's all we need, isn't it? You see, it's so wonderful. Though that sign of Calvary, Jesus is very near. And you know, he was near here. They realised he'd suffered. They realised these things. And they even said, but he said to them, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Oh, he had to, did he not? Because of his Father's will. Yes, and that brings me back to Cleopas, that word, the meaning of his name. Yes, glory to the Father. Glory to the Father, the King of Kings. Glory to the Lord of Lords. And that's really where we are, isn't it, friends, this morning? Jesus himself drew near. Do you know, friends, there were 28 times in Scripture where go near, or where the words drew near or draw nigh appear. And there's just one where it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that spoke so much to me, because we desire to draw near to him if we're true Christians. We desire, don't we, that drawing nigh, but just once he draws near. You know, he's not going to. We're not going to feel the presence of the Lord every single moment of every day, friends. But we walk on in faith, and we look for his next appearing, and we desire that he would next speak to us, don't we? Friends, that is true religion, I believe, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking. Are you a looking Christian, friends? Yes, they're the ones, truly, that are following hard after him. But have your eyes been holding in your current pathway? Oh, poor sinner, you've come up, you're so tried and you're so tempted and you're so troubled this morning, but have your eyes been holding that you cannot see him, that he is bringing you this way, that you've got to come through this tried, difficult pathway? You've got to walk on step by step, and you can't feel that he's with you. But perhaps many years ago he gave you a word, something like the word given to Moses, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a sign unto me that thou shalt serve me upon this mountain. Moses, you're going to serve me upon this very mountain where I'm giving you this word. And certainly I will be with thee. He needed that word then, and the Lord came. And friends, when you really need a pickup, I do believe the Lord will come. I do believe he will. And pray on, poor sinner, if you're waiting, because he will answer those prayers, you know. Well, we think of Moses again. You see, he comes much later into a time of real difficulty, does he not? Because they've been worshipping the golden calf. And the Lord says he's going to depart from his presence. Oh, how solemn. He's not going to, he refuses to go with the people. Exactly the opposite. Jesus himself drew near. And then the Lord God says he refused to Moses to go with the people, the children of Israel. Oh, how solemn that is. The exact opposite of our word. And that's where the Moses begged of the Lord, he came, he said, thou sayest, bring up this people, let me know whom thou wilt send with me. And that's when the Lord gave him that wonderful word, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Oh, friends, may that be a little token for one. You're worried about this pathway, perhaps a new venture, something new in providence, something before you. Oh, that the Lord would soften you with this, and give this word to your very soul and heart this day. My presence shall go with thee. Yes, and I will give thee rest. You know, we had a deacon at Staplers who passed away in a Bethesda home, and he left like a diary summarising each year where he felt certain things in his spiritual experience. It's a wonderful book to read. And he writes this in January 1984, the first Sunday in January. He said, Mr. Seymour started with us today as our pastor, and he brought that text, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He said, what a start to a pastorate, but he also said this, friends, and what a word for this poor sinner. And you know, I read that and I thought, how wonderful. I don't suppose my dad ever knew that his word had been blessed that first time he ever spoke. And of course, he was favoured to be there for 13 years before he was removed to Australia in God's providence. But friends, what a beginning. And what a beginning it will be for you, poor soul, as I feel the Lord comes in and shines some light on that in the new pathway that you have before you. I don't know what it is. The Lord knows your case. I don't know about any of you. But a wonderful thing. Yes, we need the Lord to draw near. To draw near, don't we? But friends, are you pondering him? Are you thinking about him in your pathway, in your ways? Do we have an exercised soul? You're looking on at those, a little later, God willing, that will be around the table. And you're so drawn out. But you fear to take the step. Friends, you fear to presume. You feel such a poor weakling in faith. Ah, these two, they reasoned among themselves. They felt sad, didn't they? They felt uncertain. But Jesus himself drew near. And you know, when he draws near, there's a drawing power of love to him. And there's a drawing power that I will draw me, I will run after thee. And poor sinner, in the day that is right for you to come, you will come. And I don't mind what age you are, and I don't mind how leaden-footed you are. He will bring you. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. You may have said, I shall never do that, take that step. Friends, be careful what you say, because the Lord, you know, he's the greatest enforcer against man's will that ever has been. And friends, I'm testimony to that, because I'm standing before you here, and it's not what my nature would have at all. He will have us to do that which we must do. And he does it by drawing near. He does it by that encouragement, that persuasion from heaven. This is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right or to the left. I wonder if we've got any Ruths here this morning. Yes. What a near kinsman there was. What a nearer kinsman. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he went with her. He gave her faith to be able to say that Naomi's God was a God that she desired. Wonderful book is the Book of Ruth, friends. Yes, I see this immediately. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And this, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And you know, she knew that the Lord would be near if she followed Naomi's God. Where thou diest, will I die, and so on. She was steadfastly minded to go with her. Steadfastness given of the Lord. And they too went to back to Bethlehem, and so it was. But you see, it's so wonderful that there is a nearer kinsman than I. One that's near. And I know Boaz says that, and he speaks of another that in the ties of nature was nearer. But really it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his being nearer, he will draw near at those times. As I've said already, friends, it's not all the time, but he will draw near. There will be the times when he manifests his love. There will be the times when he pours out into our soul a little hope, an expectation. And there will be those times when he strengthens our faith in the way. I do verily believe it. And so here he did in that sense. So there was a nearer kinsman, but the nearer kinsman wouldn't take on Ruth, wouldn't take on as he had to as his wife, and he wouldn't take on the land. No. And so it came back to Boaz, the type of Christ who was near. She was near, he was near to Ruth, and she walked with him. She walked with him. Friends, we can only walk with Jesus as we're drawn. But oh, to pray to be drawn to walk with him. Oh, for a closer walk with God, says Cowper, a calm and heavenly frame, a light that shines upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. You know, I went to a wedding, friends, and it was way back in 1984 in September. And the Lord, he was at the Dicker, and the Lord's servant, Mr. Sperling Tyler, this was his word to the couple that were married. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. What a word, friends, for them in that pathway ahead. And I say, what a word for us individually. What a word may be, I know not. As it comes straight into my mind, what a word may be for you as a people, for you as a church. You need it, you know. Jesus himself drew near and went with you. Have you got a journey to make? A spiritual journey? Are there those exercises? Friends, I have no idea. You know that. We come amongst you as strangers. But are those collective exercises, friends, as well as individual ones that you're carrying? Jesus himself drew near and went with them. There shall be a performance of these things, says the angel Gabriel. There shall be a performance of those things that I have spoken unto you. What is it? What has he spoken? Oh, poor sinner, you've come up, you've got this exercise, you're carrying it, and you want to know what the Lord's will is in it. I say, may this word be a little sign to you this morning, nothing to do with this poor sinner, but from the Lord Jesus himself drew near. Oh, what a favour it would be. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You know, perhaps the young people to listen to this, I read an obituary in a Gospel Standard, an old Gospel Standard that I came across in 1982, I think it was, a lady called, I think it was a Mrs. Atwell. She went to Gower Street Chapel. She'd been a member for many years, and she died in an old age. And it was so wonderful to read that she really wanted the Lord to be with her in a pathway. And this was early in her life, and she went to her Sunday school superintendent. You know, I noticed that, friends. And young friends, don't be withheld in going to seek out the advice of others that perhaps are you might look up to in the things of God. They can't necessarily tell. They can't tell you the way, but they can give you a word of guidance, perhaps, as to what to do and how to take it to the Lord. Do listen to those around you and your parents and others. I would say that. And there she was, this lady. She went to her Sunday school superintendent, who said to her, she said, I think, she said, you must do your duty, the thing that you feel is most dutiful before God, and then wait and see for his blessing on it afterwards, she said, as he hasn't given you a word. And anyway, she felt that was wise advice, and she went and did, took this position on. And you know, she said, within a couple of weeks, she said, the Lord came in and spoke this word to her heart. And the Lord, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee. And she felt so confirmed in that, and what teaching it was in that. But she said, there I was, 20 years or so later, 1939, and it's just before the war. And she said, again, I've lost my occupation, I've lost my position, I don't know what the future is. All I could find at that time was something voluntary. But she said, I felt the Lord's prompting to take this voluntary position. And he said this to her, I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. Oh, you see, the Lord was going to be with her. Jesus himself drew near and went with her. So she took that voluntary position. Friends, she writes, 15 years later, I'm still there. The war came. The person that was that got the full-time position was removed by illness. A way was made for me, and here I am now. The Lord has been with me. Oh, young people, pray over your pathway that the Jesus himself would draw near. And as we've spoken much, that we might each know it too, spiritually in our pathway. Friends, wonderful word. Well, one of the occasions in the scripture when the word comes, go near. Go near, says Philip. But you know that the Spirit said to Philip, go near to this chariot and join thyself to this chariot. You see, the Spirit said it. The Spirit drew near, you see. He drew near. Go near, join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to the chariot. This is where there was the eunuch. The eunuch was about to be baptized. It was the Lord's time. Oh, there was a going near. So although Philip as a person went near, the nearness was the Lord Jesus. He was walking as in our text, he was drawing near and going with that those two as they sat there in that chariot. Philip, and he desired Philip he would come and sit with him. And you know, Philip was enabled to open his mouth. And he began at the same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. And friends, oh, what a going near there was there. But that's the Spirit, the work of the Spirit. May we see it and know it. Well, friends, I won't keep you. You know, this is a word for us to take away. Take away. You know, I don't know what you feel, but I've so often felt, you know, it's important just to hear the word and to ponder the word during chapel. But friends, as I've gone on, I've had to realise more and more, it's in the week afterwards and the weeks afterwards that we might pray over the words that the servants of God have brought as their text. Friends, pray over this. Because I tell you what, any of you, those are true, heartfelt believers of the Lord, will desire this text to be special to them. And they will desire that Jesus indeed would draw near and go with them. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Seymour will administer the Lord's Supper immediately after this service and preach to us again this afternoon at 2:30. And all who wish to stay for the Lord's Supper should remain in their usual seats as before. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening at 7:00 with an address by Mr. Timothy Barker. And Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach for us on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach to us, God willing, at 10:30 and at 6:00 in the evening, and hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon in the chapel. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. And a note that our Oakington friends have cancelled their Christmas service. And lastly, when you leave the chapel, you are asked to maintain social distance and disperse immediately to comply with Tier 2 regulations and avoid bringing reproach. Our closing hymn is number 924. Great rock, for weary sinners made, when storms of sin distress the soul, here let me rest my weary head when lightnings blaze and thunders roll. Hymn 924.
Anything thy pure and holy eyes have seen that is amiss. And Lord, we do pray now for thy blessing as we gather round the table. Lord, it's a wonderful mercy. Lord, be with us. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. May we prove it. That may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.